All right. Today, I am joined by casting director Zora DeHorder, all the way from Los Angeles, via the UK, though. Via the UK, right? How are you doing, Zora?
But then via Nigeria. I'm Nigerian-born, London-raised, but and then Hollywood-working, yes.
There you go. You're an eclectic mix after my after my own heart.
Right? Yeah. That's the future.
Mixing. I mean, you'll get asked this all the time, right? Like, how does someone Nigerian born, raised in the UK, end up moving to Hollywood and working in casting? And I don't want you to tread over ground that you've already probably covered a gazillion times, but like, what's the Cliff Notes version to how that all manifested for you?
Well, for me, it's all through schooling. I mean, I went to boarding school in England. I went to university and then went to USC and then stayed after USC. Because I loved the film program. I was I gravitated towards the film program, even though that was not my major. I had a double degree in English literature and political science. But the film school is right there. So I ended up doing a minor in film. So I ended up, you know, I had lots of education and I loved studying. And I think for me, I think for people in general, also with actors, you've got to keep studying. You've got to show that you're putting in the work and the time, and then you'll get rewarded. So for me, trying to work as an actor. I originally tried acting, that didn't work for me. And everybody's journey is different. But for me, after a certain time, I was like, I'm not flourishing as an actor. So I decided to change gears. And I always loved the energy in casting offices. As you know, you go to casting offices, well, in the old days, not so much anymore, but, and you'd feel the energy, the vibrancy of, you know, the assistant going crazy, trying to avails, finding actors, the actors sitting there waiting for the audition. And I love that energy. And I thought, if I'm going to give up acting, I want to be around actors. So same thing again, I was able to save some money. So I would call casting offices and offer my services for free. And for free, come on down. That's the way, unfortunately, you have to learn how to get into casting. I mean, now I'm part of the Casting Society of America. And they have a training program now and a mentorship program. But when I was growing up at the time, there was none of that. So I had to offer my services for free. And when some interns would leave at two, I would stay right till 8 or 9 if they needed me to. So I was just determined and dedicated. And after a year, it paid off. I got my first film.
How far off do you think we are until we might start seeing like degree programs that have casting as part of the film course in some capacity?
I don't know, but I taught at Los Angeles City College here in Los Angeles. Yeah. I actually taught a casting director class. And there's so much more I could teach because, you know, there's contracts. Besides acting, the acting side of casting, there's the legal side of being a casting director. Negotiations, contracts, all the different writers and stuff that actors require, especially the namey actors. There's a lot to know about casting that's not easy to get a hold of. So I hope they do that. And I'm hoping I get to teach again at the City College level, you know?
But that's all the admin stuff that nobody really thinks that's part of the job. And number two,
I know.
It's not really what you enjoy though, right? Like all the casting people.
To me, there's nothing more joyous and joyful than reading a script and then having an actor come in and seeing what they do with that, with those words, and now they make it their own and what they do with it. That's what I get excited about. But the reality is that's not all to casting. There is the, you know, administrative legality side of it. That's not always fun, but it's necessary to be a casting director.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, yeah, those are the things as well that are going to vary from country to country, state to state. I mean, because you have worked both sides of the pond, right? You have done casting in the UK as well.
In the UK, yeah. Not as much, but I've definitely done casting in the UK. And it's a different, like you said, it's a different beast. I like it. It's different.
That was going to be my question. I guess if we start with the legalities, because that's what we were talking about, are there disparities there in terms of some of the differences contractually? Obviously, SAG-AFTRA in the States is a very different kind of medium to work through versus what we have in the UK. But that aside, like unions aside, what were your big takeaways and the differences there?
Well, that's the thing though, when I was working in the UK, because I was not as familiar with the legal side of it, and I don't have any lawyer background. So even as a casting director, I had to learn that slowly but surely, mostly through, to be honest with you, my interactions with agents, because agents are the ones who are deal, you know, they're the ones who do your deals. That's why, you know, everyone, if you have a manager and you don't have an agent, a lot of times you have a lawyer, because you need someone, because legally managers in this country anyway are not supposed to do your deals for you, because they're not sanctioned under the California law to do deals, whereas agents are. So I learned a lot from agents. I learned a lot from doing seminars through the Screen Actors Guild. But in the UK, I have to be honest, the producers were very, you know, hands-on with helping with the deals in those situations.
Right. And I think someone might ask this later, but just to kind of sort of get into it a bit now, from a performing perspective, when you brought people into the room, I mean, acting is acting, right? And actors are actors, but can you tell like a difference in maybe the style of training or the type of performer? Is there, I mean, blanket brush strokes here, which are terrible to do, but.
Guys, I'm generalizing, so please don't take to any of these. This is generalizations, okay? Yeah,
get off Twitter, people. Get off Twitter.
But generally speaking, I found the UK actors were more prepared. Just the work ethic of coming in, stating their name, being prepared, doing the piece, saying thank you and leaving the room was just much more efficient and professional in my
opinion. Those are ones that have come into your office when in LA, right?
UK. I'm talking about when I was
still. Oh, interesting.
Just the process was just different. I felt like people were better at coming at their times.
Well, we don't have the freeways though. I mean, that's the other thing in LA. You got to navigate the 101 and the 405 and the 10 and then parking, and it's 3 hours out of your day.
Those are all excuses. You're a professional. You just got to find a way to leave earlier so you get them on time. Do you have any people come in? Oh my God, I'm so sorry I'm late. This was happening with traffic. No, I don't need to know all that. Leave it at the door. Sure.
Well, that's what Uber's for.
Pardon?
That's what Uber's for, an actor's greatest friend now.
Well, just give yourself more time, because I always say to an actor, try to get there early. Sure. Try to get there early for a few reasons, especially in Los Angeles, not so much in London, like you said, because the transportation is so efficient and you can walk a lot of times. It's more central. Whereas in Los Angeles, I try to encourage actors to try to get there early, because you're finding parking, trying to find the right parking spot. That can be really anxious, anxiety-ridden, and stressful. So the last thing you want to come into is a space of audition already stressed because you had difficulty finding parking. So get there early. Try to find a parking spot, lots of time. Sit in your car, take a breath, do the sides a little bit. Go inside, see how long, how many people are signed up, how long is it going to take for you. Go into a space so you feel comfortable and safe, so you're not sitting in the lobby stewing with all these other people that are all tense and wound up. So there's lots of reasons to come early. And I felt that the British actors, when I was casting in London, had that work ethic already. And just be more prepared, generally speaking, memorize more for, I'm not, that's the work ethic somehow. They know to come in prepared. Mm. Whereas I feel like some of the actors here still are holding onto their sides, still reading into the page. And these are all generalizations, guys. Sure. There are some amazing, obviously, LA actors. I love LA actors at the same time. But I do want people to be more aware of their work ethic and be more prepared and come early.
It's interesting. It's also how much of that could be a cultural thing. I mean, I always remember hearing the two trains of thought on, because you mentioned the sides there, right? And there was always that thing of, you know, in the States, it wasn't that big of a deal if you had the sides in hand. In some cases, it was that we wanted you to have the sides in hand. We don't expect you to be off book. And whereas in the UK, it's pretty much a case of, we expect you to be off book.
Well, yeah. I want you to always hold your sides. I'm a big believer in always holding your sides. I didn't say that. I didn't say not hold your sides. I just want you to still be memorized. Because there are times, just like in real life, you're reading and then somehow the weirdest thing will happen when you suddenly go blank. You're so in the moment or something affects you that you go blank. And the worst thing is, oh God, I'm so sorry. My sides are in the car. Can you give me a minute?
Sure, moment, sure.
So I always tell an actor, always hold the sides. You may never have to use it, but every time the reader turns the page, you turn the page. So that way you're completely in sync with the reader. And I actually look to see how well you're in sync with your reader. So you may not have to look down, but still always have the sides in your hand right here. So that way you can quickly glance because you know where your lines fall on the page. Come back, glance, come back. But always, always hold your sides because you can't go blank.
So we're talking a lot about the room, which if people are listening, are going to go, some people are going to go, what's that? I don't remember. Will we ever get it back again? How does some of that maybe translate to the world of self-taping or even Zoom castings? Have you done many or any Zoom castings?
That's all I'm doing. I'm doing a lot of self-tapes, but I'm also doing virtual auditions. Absolutely.
Do you find them to be actually kind of different animals in some ways to each other?
Of course, it's definitely different. I mean, you know, you're not seeing the person in person.
I mean the Zoom versus the self-tape, do you kind of see them as being very much the same, or are there nuances that are different from one to the other?
The difference in the sense that with a virtual audition, you're dealing with sometimes a slow internet.
Sure.
So you can sometimes have that weird delay in someone speaking. So that can be frustrating. And then just, you know, the minutiae of trying to get on. Where is your mute, the sound? And people not always knowing, they're looking around trying to find that out, and that can slow the whole process down. Whereas with self-tape, you're completely in control of that as the actor, right?
Sure,
you do the self-tape, you can watch it. Oh, wow, the sound's not right. I need to do that again. You do it again. You watch it. That's still not right. And that's the beauty. And I wish people would embrace self-tapes more, because you are completely in control. You put out and you give to us exactly what you want us to see, because you can tape it and retape it and retape it till it's exactly what you want. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, being in person or being on Zoom, it's a lot of times just one take. If we don't see it right away, we can say, bye-bye, thank you.
Sure.
And sometimes you're going, oh, damn, I wish I'd done this, I wish I'd done that. The self-tapes, you can. You can control that. You can control what's being seen and sent out. So please enjoy your self-tapes and take the time to do watch it. Make sure you watch it. Make sure the lighting is good. Make sure the sound quality is good. The angle is correct, you know, straight ahead. Not looking down at the camera or not looking up so I'm seeing the ceiling fan. Just make sure all those things sound technical. But those are the little qualities that just make you shine more.
And I guess that you've done the preparation that you would do anyway for an in-person audition. But
exactly.
Doubly more so, though, because you don't have the extra feedback in the room that someone like yourself would give us. And that seems to be sort of sometimes the challenge, because we might get a breakdown and we'll get the sides, not always the full script. And yeah. we don't have all the clues. And whilst we're going to go fishing, we can do our take on the self tape, but then we don't maybe have a casting person to adjust us to do a second or a third. So I don't know what thoughts you have on that in terms of how actors can maybe best almost self-direct themselves when self-taping to do the best work possible without then worrying, oh, well, is that what they want? I don't know. I haven't got the feedback, and getting in their head about it.
Well, this is the thing. This is about truly trusting your instincts and truly trusting that you are what you need, what they need for the role, and going for it. And this is where you see the person that shines, that really trusts their instincts. And about being a self-directed actor, I actually try to teach people how to be more of a self-directed actor, because there are some directors that are great technicians.
Mm.
They can tell the DP, the makeup artist, the costume designer exactly what they want.
Yeah, they're the perfect editor, but they're not very direct when it comes to acting.
They don't know how to talk the actor's language. They're actually a little bit intimidated about what to say to actors.
Sure.
And I've actually seen this happen. Well, they'll tell the first AD, can you go tell the actor to do it again? And you can't be like, oh, do it again. What do I do now? What do I do? What do I do? So I try to teach you, what would you do? If you had a chance to do it again, what would you change? What would you add to this? So you've got to get better about stepping out of yourself and going, I would try this, this, and this.
Mm.
And not be afraid to really be truthful to who you are and what you would do. So that way your audition stands out and it's really you, as opposed to an idea of what you think we want to see.
Oh, no, that's always what we've got to do. Come on now. We got to give you an idea of what we think you want, even though you don't know what you want.
Yeah,
exactly.
Sometimes that's true. There are times we don't quite know what we want, because, you know, some writers, unfortunately, don't always write a character that's really flushed out or really three-dimensional. And that's why you're hoping an actor will come in there and do something like, now I get it. Now I get this character. So please always trust your instincts and go for it.
Mm, absolutely. When it comes to maybe just talking a little bit about the process of once you've got a tape or an audition done, and then it goes sort of from our side, it's done, it's off into the ether. Hopefully we'll forget about it and not dwell and get all stressed out. Easier said than done. But then from your side with the process, could you maybe talk a little bit about what the subsequent steps usually are in terms of where does the tape then go, what happens with it, and then what eventually leads to a decision being made? And I appreciate that might change from project to project, but loosely, if there's any through lines, it might be interesting for people listening to understand the journey.
Well, when I get your self-tape, the first thing I do is I watch it. If I feel you're exactly the right tone, because obviously as the casting director, I've liaison with the director, and he and I have to be in sync. We're like a couple now. We have to be completely in sync. I'm the facilitator for him, so I have to make sure I get him what he needs. So if I watch it and I'm touched or moved, or there are things about your acting that I feel they need to see, I will then forward the link of each of the actors that I approve of, director, because that's my job also is to filter, because I can't give them everything. Sure. Because sometimes I may see up to 60 actors for one role. And, I don't want to overwhelm them by seeing all those people. So it's my job. I'm the, like I said, the facilitator, and I have to screen. I'm this pre-screen too. So if I like them, then the director decides if they want to see them on a virtual situation, because now they saw the self-tape. And like you said, sometimes the self-tape may not be exactly the right direction, but there's something about, there's a quality the actor's conveying that I feel is necessary for this character. Or the look is right. There's so many elements to why you forward a self-tape. So if the director and the producer or producers respond to the actors, they give me a short list of their selects. There are two ways you do it. Either you have them redo a self-tape with specific directions that I'm getting from the director, or you do a virtual callback. Mm-hmm. And then that virtual callback, the producers, the director, the network, depending on who needs to see this, are all present for that. The advertising agency, depending what genre it is. And sure. Then from there, it's a matter of them deciding. And then I may try to steer them. If they're stuck on a few different people, I may steer them towards one, depending on if I've had experience with them, or if I know their work, or if I've, watched other stuff they've done based on their reel, their social media page, YouTube, Instagram, whatever they put out there to the world. And I feel that this is the right quality for this character, mm-hmm. that I may try and, steer them towards one person, but generally, ultimately, it's their medium. So they make the final choices.
Sure, absolutely. And then you get to enjoy all the fun of the admin stuff once they give you the person that they want. So the group of people that you filtered out, right? Like, first of all, they've already, air quotes, won because they've been called into audition. So Yeah. There's a win there already. But for whatever reason, you don't submit them further to go and be seen by the directors, producers, and network. Assuming that it's not because of them not being good and doing a good read, and it's something, not the right fit, not the right look, something was a bit off. What then happens from your side as Zora? Do you sort of file them away for other roles, another project? Do you have like a process around what you do with those people? Or is it just chalk it up as an X for this project and move on?
Well, it's an X for the project, but I always hold on to all my stuff, and I have a mental memory of who the people, because obviously the reality is you want to bring in actors that make you look good, right?
Sure.
If I'm only as best as the act, I'm only as good as the actor I bring in. So I have a log of the people, and if you may not be right for this, but I'll definitely consider you for other things. Absolutely, that's my job.
Sure, it's true. It is. We're all as good as our last project, for lack of a better term.
That are good, and I want the actors to make me look good, because we want to all keep working. So yeah, if you may not be right for this, but I'll definitely, I mean, that happens to actors all the time. They may audition for the same casting director 20 times, and then finally on the 21st time they finally get a booking, because like I said, I'm the facilitator, it's still the director's medium, and they have the
or never day. Just because it doesn't vibe up. I remember I spoke to Jane Jenkins a few months back, and she said she auditioned Clooney she didn't know how many times, never booked the guy. Yeah. But I mean, someone else did. And it's not that he wasn't good. It's obviously, it's just that it wasn't the right fit for the world that she was working on at that time.
She felt strong enough about him as an actor, of his skill as an actor, that she was willing to bring him in 150 times. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And we have relationships. It's still very much, you know, it's a relationship situation. So you make us look good. We foster the relationship with you. We keep bringing you back. We'll help try and help you get better agents if that's the case. You know, so we are rooting for you at the same time.
Yeah, you kind of touched on a little sort of point there with the agent bit, because people listening might go, okay, so you're talking about relationships, then how do we foster those relationships with you? And aside from, you know, emails or postcards back in the day, the agent relationship with you guys is the biggest dynamic, but obviously there's certain levels to that.
Managers as well.
Yeah.
Managers as well.
Stateside for sure. I guess for actors listening in who might be thinking, well, my reps don't have those strong connections, which is the age old thing. What advice can you kind of give them? And is it just a think long game as opposed to short term, or is there more to it than just that?
Think long game. You have to think long game. It's like you just pointed out, I mean, George Clooney, how many times did he go in for Jen Jenkins and then finally someone else hired him?
Sure.
So just, it's about consistency. We want to see consistency in your work. We want to see that you're growing and getting better and not getting stuck and complacent. So that way we feel confident we're bringing you back year after year. And hopefully, like you said, we'll hit the right fit will happen. And don't forget, I'm not sure what the percentage is. I've forgotten now what the percentage is in UK. But in the US, an agent gets 10%.
Yeah. Sure.
Anywhere from 10 to 20%, depending on what genre it is. Commercials tends to be 20%.
Yeah.
And a manager usually gets anywhere from 10 to 15%, depending on the management company. So that means they're doing only 10%, 20%. That means the rest of it, 90, 80%, you have to be in charge of. You have to be more in control of your career. You have to be in control of what you're putting out into the world, what images, what content. So keep working on your platforms, keep doing plays, keep doing classes, keep doing self-tapes, keep doing monologues, putting things out there that we can constantly see that you're still trying to put yourself out there no matter what the circumstances are. And you're not leaving it all to, oh my God, my agent hasn't called today. It's not always about that. It's about you. I know so many actors who've gotten their own work.
It's true. And that by doing that, you're even just keeping that artistic muscle healthy and flexed. And it's not even about the work, although it is. Waiting for the phone to ring sucks.
It makes your agent more passionate about you because they feel like, okay, this is a person who's really, really committed to the business and a business of acting.
Absolutely.
And that's business is putting yourself out there, being more comfortable with being a public figure. And doing things that are public that we can get to know you better.
Gives you the chills just thinking about it. Public figure. You hear that, you think of politicians with the recent kind of past few weeks. That's why. I do have someone in the waiting room. I'm going to bring her in a second. I just had one final question for you before I do. I wanted to just get a little bit of an insight from your side on how you approach pitching and getting projects for yourself, because obviously you're freelance just like us. Yeah. What's that process like? And is it word of mouth for the most part, or do you still go out to pitch?
It's word of mouth, it's referral, it's repeat business. That's what you want, hopefully.
You
want repeat business. So relationships, again, it's all about relationships. That's why, you know, with actors, with everybody, be nice, be likable, be nice, because you never know. Today's assistant could be tomorrow's executive, tomorrow's aide, whatever it is. So just be out there in the world. Just be nice, be likable. So hopefully, like I said, casting directors bring you back. Agents want to keep, you know, rooting for you. And the same thing on my end. I try to be nice. I try to do the best job I can. So that way they'll say, you know what? I loved working with her so much. I wanted to work my next film.
Absolutely.
So that's the idea, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, for real.
And just, you know, if you hear about something, you try to submit and hope that you get an interview, meeting, same kind of thing. Yeah.
And just, yeah, finding the stuff that aligns with your sensibilities and the kind of themes and stories you're drawn to.
Yeah.
Great. Let me bring in Annabelle, who I believe she's based in the UK, but I believe she's a dual national, but she'll confirm that. Hey, Annabelle, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Just talking about you, all nice things. I was just saying, you're a dual citizen, aren't you, of the US and the UK? I've got that right, haven't I?
That's right. Yeah. So my accent wouldn't give that away, but I was born in West Virginia, of all places. I know there's a song. We don't have to sing it. Yeah, so I was born in West Virginia where my parents worked over there for years. And that's actually some of my questions are sort of related to that as well, like how you could best maximize the opportunities that afford to you as an actor to have the potential to work in different markets. Like, how exactly do you go about maximizing those opportunities?
Oh, well, awesome. I'll shut up and let you talk to Zora.
Well, the idea is, hello.
Hi.
So you're in London right now, yeah?
Actually, I'm in I'm in the northwest of England, so I'm just outside of London, so yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, in England, that's what I meant to say, England.
Yeah.
Well, anything with anything, you just keep fostering your relationships. If you hear about any projects that are happening in the US, submit yourself. Just let them know that you're dual, that you have a dual passport, whatever it is. And hopefully they'll be able to consider you. I think during this time with the pandemic and everything, I think people are more open to international because it's much more, there are projects that are being filmed at your location. I know that, for example, I just finished casting something where the production company actually sent out the equipment needed for them to film themselves and then send it back and they would edit it the way they needed to edit it. So I think that's happening a lot more. I'm just about to do another project with the same thing. It's a thriller. It's a psychological thriller.
Mm-hmm.
But people can film it at their own location. And the DP will literally be outside the location on their computer, telling the actor where to put the camera, what kind of lighting, and they'll be getting all the equipment. So, things are shifting a little bit. So don't worry about where you are per se. Just if you find out about projects, just submit and just remind people that you do have a dual citizenship. And go from there.
That's great. Yeah, my agent it does a really good job at that too. And actually, that ties into something I was going to ask you about this horrible pandemic as a whole, is that the trends that you've seen it sort of create. So obviously, there's been a lot more self-taping, which is great. I think hopefully many people have got much better at self-taping and ring lights and all the rest of it. But do you think it's also had the effect where, to some extent, it's reduced or made location even more important for actors? So, for example, must be based in Los Angeles or New York or London because of COVID, even though they'd like to keep sort of smaller bubbles in that sense or restrict travel, or is that not really happening anymore?
Well, I don't know. I can't speak to the general. For me personally, I've not seen that happen. In fact, I got a script about the actors finding Los Angeles actors to go to South Africa to film.
Okay. So no, that's great.
Yeah, exactly. I think, there's always ways to work around the rules make it work somehow. Filming is happening. People are being on set. They're all doing the COVID protocol. There's a COVID person on set. So I think everyone's just having to adjust and making it work somehow.
Yeah, and here's to hopefully things getting back to normal next year as well, which should be great. And it's your experience as well, if I could.
Even if things go back to normal, I think virtual auditions is going to stay for a bit. I mean, they're finding ways to be more efficient, making it more user-friendly. So platforms are getting much better, actually. We may not even do in-person until it's maybe a chemistry read or the final callback. But I think, to be honest with you, I think virtual auditions are going to be around for a bit longer.
Yeah, and in some way, it sort of can't.
Into the new year,
and I guess it can open up the platform for many actors and also streamline the process as well,
which
is great for everyone. Another question I had, if that's okay, is your experience of how casting differs in different markets. So obviously in the US, how much importance, say, would you go on someone's IMDb page in comparison to, obviously, I know Spotlight in the UK. So how would I would say, do they differ or how are they similar across the countries, would you say?
Well, I don't necessarily cast things all over the country. I cast things all over the but my experience, and I'm casting a pilot right now for a major network, and I'm doing an international worldwide search. So I'm looking at Spotlight, I'm looking at Instagram, I'm looking at TikTok, I'm looking at everything to try and find people. Because you just never know which market. That's why I keep telling actors, please make sure your social media pages and handles are fresh, are current, always up to date, and has video content, not just still photos. I don't want to see just headshots on there. I want to see actual video. I want to see how you walk and talk, besides just your reel. I want to see you now, today, how you are, who you are. So please always make sure your social media is up to date and fresh and exciting. And yeah, I check all those things. I check IMDb, I check Spotlight, I check every source I can to find people, because you just never know where people are more prevalent, what medium. YouTube, I love YouTube. I think people have some really great content on YouTube. So just make sure, like I was saying to Ashley, I mean, you are a public figure, so you've got to start now being comfortable being public. YouTube, having a YouTube page, you know, your Facebook, your Instagram, all that stuff has got to be lively and ongoing all the time. I want to see updates. I want to see, when I look at your page, I don't want to see that there's a content from 2 weeks ago. No, I want to see it from today or yesterday. So I want to see what you're up to right now. To just keep having fun with that stuff so we can always find you somehow.
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually, because I think that is somewhere I do fall down. It's the marketing of oneself is so important. So yeah, that's bang on.
We are of the world now, and we do want to try and elicit more people of the world, different actors and different nationalities. So I think we're going to further lengths now to try and find those kind of people, to be more representative of those different kinds of types. So it's more imperative that actors really be more comfortable. I mean, there's nothing worse than when I don't know an actor so well. So I want to go on Instagram to see what they're all about. And their page is private. And I'm like, come on, no. You're a public figure now. If you want to have a private page, absolutely. If you want to have a family and friends page, do it. But that's what's so good about Instagram or all these sites. You can have multiple pages. So just make another one that's actor friendly so I can find out who your essence is as an actor.
Yeah, that's such a good advice, actually. Thank you for that. I will get sharing and creating more content.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's fun. I mean, this is a time, and I don't want people to say, oh, there's nothing to do, the pandemic, we'll have to be quarantined, we'll curfew, we can't go out. Well, you're indoors now, so practice doing more self-tapes, doing monologues, doing fun with your, you know, just having fun with your phone. I mean, all these phones now is so, the quality of the pixels and all that stuff. You can make some great content on your phone. You don't have to necessarily buy the full-on $800 cameras anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Your phone is your $800 camera. Your phones are your $800 cameras now.
Exactly. I was going to say, how expensive are your phones? Because, I mean, they're $800 easy.
But the iPhones are bloody expensive.
Exactly.
So my point being is we're going everywhere to find people. So, you know, just be current and be up to date and make sure we can find you, not just through Spotlight, but through other ways, through other avenues.
That's super, super helpful, actually. Just, broaden the reach and make it easy for you.
I mean, if in the UK, why don't you also get on Breakdown Services, Actors Access, LA Casting, Casting Frontier? Why not put yourself on the UK, on the US stuff? You know, put yourself on the US platforms as well. Why not? You've got nothing to lose.
Especially when you're dual national, right? Because unlike anyone, you know, you don't need the visa. If you needed a visa, it wouldn't make sense.
Yeah.
But
make sure all the UK or US platforms as well. Just, you know, why not? You've got nothing to lose. It costs a little bit to sign up, but it's worth it because then now you're being you're more accessible and you're easier to find and locate.
That's brilliant. Thank you. I feel like that's why I've learned something today. So thank you.
Yeah, there's so many platforms. Like I said, Breakdowns, Casting Frontier, you know, everywhere. Just Google, and that's what's so great now as an actor. Yeah. You can Google. Find out everything and just put yourself out there on every platform, you know, even the business platform, LinkedIn. I mean, why not?
Absolutely.
There's so many different ways to promote yourself as an actor now. It's great. It's a great way to be an actor today. I'm so lucky, so great. I'm so happy for you guys. When I was an actor back in the day, it was literally just your website, headshot, and it was a, you know, paper headshot. Remember those days? Paper headshots. Now it's all online, it's all virtual, so go for it. I think people have to be more comfortable embracing that side of their acting, the business side of acting, and be proactive about that, getting yourself out there in every way possible.
Yeah, and there's so many ways to connect now, like you say, and people are so open to it. And people want to connect now, and especially with the pandemic, it's been so miserable.
Facebook, there are different acting groups. You know, there's Brits in LA. There's all kinds of, I don't get anything by saying any of these names, just so you know. But my point is there are different fan pages, there are different groups that you could be part of. Just keep feeling like you're part of a group and not feeling like you're by yourself trying to do this bi-coastal thing. you know.
Yeah. Okay, that's great advice. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on, Annabelle.
You're welcome.
Hey, take care.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye. Amazing. Yeah, there's, I, you know, the business side as well, I think is something that's covered really well, or a lot better, at least in the States.
Yeah, it's true.
Than over here.
Great.
100%. Yeah. Like, you go to LA, you feel the business. You come to the UK, some people are really good at it, but for the most part, there's that, also that stoicism, I think, that exists over here of, I don't want to talk about myself. Which I understand, but they don't teach that stuff either. That's also the thing. Nobody really teaches the business side of the show business combo. It's, which is essential. Absolutely. Ironically, I think her agent is called Claire Robinson. She said she came and studied or was trained by you as when she was an actress many moons ago.
No way.
I don't know if the name rings a bell. I think it's many moons ago.
That's amazing. It's a small circle. It's a small network. Especially if you keep doing this, you end up running into the same people eventually, because it is end up being a small business if you stick with it. You know, you just got to stick with it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's crazy. I think she actress, then she worked in casting for a while, and now she started her own agency. And she was like, oh, I know Zora. She taught me when I was in LA for a while. Go figure. Go figure. Small world. Right. Just waiting on the next person to join, but she's not joined in yet. So rather than me do what I do at the end, because I'm mindful of your time, I might just do my little ending bit now, which is I take the inside the actor's studio questions that Mr. James Lipton asked. And okay. I run them by my guests and just ask for quick fire, whatever comes to your mind. Okay. What are your answers? So if you're game, the first question is, what is your favorite word? by the way, if it was going to be a swear word, there is a question for that later, which, okay, fair enough.
One word?
Yeah. What's your favorite word at the moment? Maybe to make it less...
My favorite word at the moment? I don't know if I have a favorite word at the moment. Chloe, is there a word I say over and over again? My assistant's here, by the way.
Happy Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Oh, happy.
happy.
Yeah.
That's true. I notice that in emails, too. Lots of happy Mondays, happy Fridays.
Because I feel like there's so much, I feel people are running around with so much pressure and so much anxiety that I just want to remind them that it's okay.
Yeah, that's what 24/7 news cycles will do to a person.
Yeah, exactly. It's heavy now. And I feel like adding the ending by saying happy Monday, happy Tuesday. I see how even when I say it, oh, happy, people are like, oh my God, it lights them up. Even when I do it at the supermarket, I do it when I go out. Thank you, happy Saturday. And they're like, oh my gosh, it just helps just take that edge off because there's so much.
And in some ways, right, even more over text-based communication because we don't get the tone from somebody. So when the word happy's in there, automatically something in our brain goes, oh, I can let down the guard a little bit. I agree with your assistant. I think happy is your favorite word of the moment. What's your least favorite word, if you have one?
No.
What turns you on in a creative sense?
Well, like I said, I think reading the script and seeing what an actor does to it and brings to it in the audition space is so exciting. I still get, you know, goosebumps and thrills just going through the audition process. I love it.
And on the flip side of that, what turns you off?
I think I already kind of said it, you know, not being prepared. I just find that so disrespectful because I try to give the respect to an actor of giving at least 48 hours, 72 hours, which in my opinion is plenty of time if you're a trained actor. to be memorized, to be completely know your beats, know your choices, be confident in the space. Know who you're coming into. When I say being confident, also who you're auditioning for. I mean, the people. And so you walk into the room going, okay, this person's cast this, this director's filmed this. You walk into the space feeling confident because you know what these people are about. So feel safe right away.
Yeah.
Just coming in with the attitude of, I'm going to make your day better. Let me show you how. There's nothing better than that. So I just don't like people who are just half-hearted about it, who are lackadaisical and don't realize that this is a real privilege. I mean, I always tell actors, getting an audition is like winning the lottery. It's so hard to get auditions. When you get it, you've got to commit to it. If you don't want to do it, just say no, it's okay. And then I'll find someone else who wants to do the role.
Well, that's it, right? That's someone else's slot. That's someone else's 5 minutes to act that day that would
be passionate and really want to be there.
Yep, absolutely, right. On cue, Rebecca is in the waiting room. So let's bring her in so she can ask a few questions and then we'll circle back and wrap this thing up.
Okay.
It's like I've done this before. Hey, Rebecca.
Hello, how are you both?
Good, good, how are you? I'm gonna sit back, shut up and give you 5 minutes to just have a bit of a chat with Zora.
Thanks very much.
Sure.
Thank you. How are you, Zora?
Thank you. So you...
Yeah, I'm in London right now. So it's I think seven o'clock at night. How about you? Where are you?
Los Angeles. So nice. It's still morning time. Yeah.
And probably a bit warmer, right?
Actually cold today. For LA, it's cold. It's just so you know, this is not lights, but this is all lighting back here. The actual sun is gray. It's a little gray overcast today. It's overcast today.
Our hearts bleed. Our hearts bleed for your gray LA non-day, one day of no sunshine.
It's probably our equivalent of our summer right now.
Pretty much.
So I'm just going to jump straight in with my I've got a question that I'm really interested in asking you. Because you seem to, I've done a little bit of research and...
talking, Ashley?
What's this?
No, we were just talking about research being such a big thing and being prepared. And so you've kind of perfectly come in prepared and done your research. Aww. And it all ties together nicely.
Like if I'm going to meet somebody, and also Ashley, I just saw your short film just now. It's really good. I'm going to meet you. I want to see your work if it's out there. Wonderful job on that, by the way.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Oh, of course. But so I was really interested because obviously you're English and then you were born in Britain and then you've spent most of your working life in LA. I was wondering, because you've probably met so many different actors now who have predominantly worked in England or worked in America, I was wondering what the difference might be if, say, you're meeting an English if you're meeting someone who's predominantly worked in the UK versus somebody who's worked in the US, and if there's like characteristics in their acting that are different.
That's so funny you said that, because Ashley and I were just talking about that, because I cast in London. I was just talking about the work ethic, generally speaking. And again, guys, it's general. I love LA actors, so please don't now blast me on Twitter saying, how dare she? But my experience has been, and generally speaking, I love UK actors because I feel like the work ethic, they really put in the work. They spend more time in memorization. I feel like they're taught that. They're taught that memorization is important. So I feel like when they come into the space, yes, they hold the sides, but they still seem to be better prepared. I'm not sure if it's also because they do a lot more theater training in the UK, whereas in the US, they do tend to do scene study class as opposed to doing a full-on training. And again, this is general, but I do encourage LA actors to please, training is really important. Natural abilities is great, but training just helps you get even more secure with your abilities. I find, generally speaking, Australian actors, Irish actors, UK actors tend to be more trained and take more interest in being trained, generally speaking.
Interesting, so
when they walk in, they tend to come in with that ability, generally speaking.
It's interesting to know, because when I do workshops and I see if there's somebody from LA in the workshop, usually I find their work ethic to be different to the people who are working in England, but they seem, yes, I don't know, my experience is different. I seem to think that LA actors are like really on it, and we're all on it here, obviously everyone's on it, but there seems to be some, I don't know, there seems to be some vibe that's different, but that's interesting.
Is it a business side maybe, do you think, Rebecca, though? Is it more that they're...
You're right. I feel like maybe it's not talent or work ethic, it's more to do with, I think their branding seems to be more on it, and their business cap seems to be more on.
Absolutely. I have to say LA actors are really good with that. That's why I have to say I really appreciate that. The UK, sometimes it can be a little bit green when it comes to the the technical aspect of acting. That craft may be honed, but the technical abilities in the sense of how to cope in the room better. Whereas LA actors are much more proficient when it comes to that. They're just, like you said, the branding, they're just on it better. In fact, I was just talking to the actress about that, about getting better about being, you know, your social media handles. It's got to be much more on top of it and fresh. Whereas LA actors are fresh and they tend to be more into that aspect of the public side of their career.
Yeah, that leads me to my next question, because...
I think LA actors are more comfortable being public, whereas UK actors tend to be more private, and they're into the craft, and they do the theatre, and they're quiet about everything, more humble about it. Whereas LA actors want to blast it, and they want to talk about it. They're more comfortable showing and sharing their self-tapes, their monologues on social media, which I actually like, because you've got to be comfortable with that. You've got to be comfortable... showing yourself out there and seeing what kind of feedback you get, and knowing what works and what's not working, and just being public.
Interesting. Yeah. So that kind of answers my next question, because I was going to say, how important is it with yours, like keeping on top of your social media platforms and your website and everything? Because sometimes I feel like less is more, but then I'm so much I was shooting over the weekend and I didn't take any photos and I didn't document any of it, you know, and I'm like, oh, maybe I should be a bit more active.
You have to. And that's the American side that I have to say I do like, because they do blast about that. They talk about that. So that way, you know, oh my God, that's so great. This person's working right now. And I can tell the producers, by the way, you should definitely think about this person because they're just working on a project. Let me show you. And I can go to the social media and scroll through all the stuff that sharing about things they're passionate and proud about. And I feel like the UK tend to be more humble and, no, I shouldn't really talk about it. It's too gauche or something. They think like it's too, to brag. That's what I have to say. I mean, because I went to boarding school and it's all about being, you know, being civil, being polite and being humble. Whereas the UK, the US is like, no, I'm going to talk about it. I'm proud about it. I'm going to show it off to everywhere. And you have to get better about that in the UK.
Definitely. I agree. I need to get better. I'm learning. I'm learning to get better at it for sure. I'm learning from US actors.
We want to see that. We want to see what you're all about. It's not just about your audition. We want to make sure you're a likable person. You're a nice person. Because as you know, there've been a lot of people that have been canceled. And we find out later because of things they wrote about or tweeted about or something. So we have to make sure you're likable and you're going to be okay with being on a set with people. Because don't forget, you're going to be part of a group of other people that will be working together for 12 hours a day, 15 hours a day, you know, depending. So I need to research you a little bit. And now it's easier to do that because I can check on your social media handles.
Of course, yeah.
So always keep it fresh, always keep it current. I don't want to look and see, oh my God, they haven't posted anything in 2 weeks. What? So you know, make sure every day, you know, you're putting something in there.
Mm-hmm. Zora, can we just clarify though quickly, we're talking about the content that's going on here more than the followers per se. I mean, do the numbers come into it a lot?
No, I don't care about numbers. I don't care about numbers. I just care about content.
No, thanks for clarifying, because I think sometimes people get the misconception that, oh, if I don't have 10 million followers or whatever, then I'm not going to be hired. So it's good to just get that clarity that it's content.
As long as it's you, I never, as you can see, I never mentioned amount of followers. I just said about, I'm talking about all sure. always about what you put out to the world. I just want to see what you're about. And I'm not really going, oh my God, Jimmy has 500 followers. Oh, that's awful. No, I don't, I'm not with that at all. I just want to see what you're about and what you're doing, what you're actively doing as an actor.
No, cool.
Sell you better. You know, it's all about selling people. Reality is, you know what I mean? I need to get people excited about you. So if I can tell them about other things you're doing and being proactive about, like I was saying to Ashley earlier, you know, your agent or manager gets 10 to 15, 20%. That means the other percentages you have to do. You have to go out there and be the business of acting you have to do.
Of course, yeah. And that's also, I guess, yes. I've got an actor website, so that would be good to, because I share that round and I hope that casting directors want to look at it. Yeah, and I'm guessing you would look at it as well then, you'd be interested in that, because it shows a bit more of my personality as well.
Websites are great, absolutely. But I want to see on your website that you also have links to your social media.
Yes, definitely, I do.
YouTube page, have, you know, all these other things. Just keep, I want to see video. I want to see video content, not just still photos. So make sure there are always video content on there. Because yeah. I want to see how you walk.
And scenes, you know, snippets of scenes on IMDb, etc. And yeah.
Exactly. Keep everything current and up to date all the time.
Great. And my final question was, it was about, recently, the BAFTAs have made casting a category in its own right. Finally, thank you. but so eventually, the Oscars will follow. I think they definitely, well, they have to, right? So my question is, how do you think, if it does, how do you think it might affect your casting decisions?
I to be honest with you, I don't know quite what that question means. I'm not trying to always, I mean, of course, you, because it's not just about the Oscars, there's also Sundance, there's so many different festivals.
I don't mean just the Oscars. I mean, if cast, because now casting has been recognized as a category for the BAFTA awards. So now hopefully a lot of other, Oscars was more an example, but hopefully everywhere else will follow. And it means that maybe decisions might be made differently because obviously there's an award at the end. So if actors didn't have an award, they might make decisions differently on set in their job. So I was thinking, or like director, if there wasn't a director award, they might make a decision differently as to how they're directing.
If that's the case, that's so shallow. That is a horribly shallow way to look at, I'm only going to direct this because I want to get my Academy Awards. No, you can't look at it that way. Do your best work. You want to always be passionate and be present at what you're working on right now and give your best. And if the reward ends up being an Academy, like, then you want to be, I mean, how many times people be like, I'm so surprised, I'm so shocked, thank you for this honor, because they weren't necessarily expecting that. They just wanted to do great work because it's about their legacy. It's about what you leave behind for you. That's how I look at it. I'm not thinking, oh my God, should I cast this because I may not be considered for an Academy Award. I can't worry about that stuff. I'm worried about, am I passionate about this piece? Is this going to feed me? Am I able to do the best job possible to get agents and managers excited? Because my job is to try and get agents and managers, actors, excited about wanting to come in for this piece. So I've got to be passionate about everything I do. So right when I'm reading it, it's got to feed me immediately. Like, I'm really enjoying reading this. I'm excited about the idea of bringing actors for this. That's all I'm thinking about. Because I'm also on the Casting Society of America. I'm on the board of directors. So we have the Artios Awards. We have our own awards for casting directors. But I can't think about, if I do this, will I be considered for an Artios? I can't think that way because I'll never work. Yeah. You've got to be passionate. You can't be one of those people thinking, I'm only doing this because I'm worried I want to try and be considered for an award. You're never going to enjoy the process of acting, directing, anything, because your ulterior, it's a shallow ulterior motive.
Yeah, of course. That makes total sense.
Just like, you know, when that actor walks in and you can see that, God, I need to get this. If I get this role, I can pay off my debt. No, you can see that desperation in an actor. You never should be doing it because you're wanting the money for it. You should always be doing it for the art, for the passion. And I'm telling you, if you're one of those people who want to do it just for the money, you're not going to get the joy or the reward as an actor. Right?
Of course.
I don't think we'd be doing it if it was just for the money, because once you earn it for more than a year, you realize that's not really going to fly that easily.
There are people who see that. You can see that they walk in thinking, oh my God, I can pay off my whatever it is. You can see that they're trying
Well, because life kicks in, right? And if you get to a certain age, you've got rent and a mortgage and kids, and then you've got to make decisions. It's tough.
No, I get that. We all do. Even as a casting director, I'm thinking about that all the time. But you can't walk into that space.
Yeah. Well, that's the work. That's the real work.
Yeah. You have to work on the craft of it and just enjoy the craft and hope that the money comes.
And hope that just by walking in and being the character doing the scene, you've done your job and you walk away.
Exactly. And you walk away.
It's not up to you.
Exactly. And that's another thing. If you go in there with that attitude of, I'm going to go in there and do my best work, and I can't worry about if I book the job, then you will do great work. And then you can leave and not toss and turn for days, weeks, thinking, damn, I needed that job. If I only did this, I could have maybe got the part. You can't worry about that stuff. You have to leave it at the door. And that's when you really focus on the craft as opposed to the money side of it.
Of course. Cool. Great. That's great. Thank you so much for answering my question.
You're welcome.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on, Rebecca.
And I hope you have a lovely rest of your day in not so sunny LA today.
Thank you. Take care. All the best.
You too. Take care. Stay safe. Bye, guys.
Bye. Amazing. Right. I was almost finished with my question, so I'll wrap it up with the last one on that circuit that I was kind of hitting you with before. The next one was going to be, aside from the job or jobs you have done so far, what other profession would you most like to attempt? Utopia here, this is.
Well, besides casting, there's something I do right now, which I really love, is I teach acting. I do audition technique. I love teaching. I love being in school. So I'd love to go back to school and just learn more. I'm not sure what exactly I want to learn, but I just love learning. I love learning. And if I had that luxury, I'll be doing my master's, my PhD, and just teaching, doing more teaching actors. I find it so rewarding and gratifying. Because you can see the results usually. I mean, I like to think I'm pretty good that I can see the results pretty quickly. And it's so rewarding to see that. So just being around, you know, that kind of world. I mean, to be honest with you, one of my dreams when I'm retired.
Here we go. Come on now.
Theater. I love theater. Mm. So I'd love as an elderly lady to do theater and do this older lady roles and do live stage. I love live stage and live performance. So that's another, you know, bucket list kind of thing when I'm older.
Amazing. Any job or profession you'd never want to do under any circumstance? Excluding politician. There she said it. You beat me to it. Cool. All right, Zora. Listen, this has been great. My last question is a bit more of an ethereal one, but I think you'll be more than happy to answer it. It's when it's all said and done and all the smoke's cleared and you've had your journey, what would you like the story of your life to be? What kind of legacy would you like to leave behind?
That she was an actor's casting director. She rooted for the actors and her projects reflect that these are actors' pieces, dynamic characters that she was able to put on screen, facilitate to put on screen. Definitely, yeah.
Amazing. Cool. Well, look, final few moments really to you, I guess. We've spoken about social, so let people know where they can find you and connect with you if they want to. And then if you have a closing message to sort of round up what we've spoken about today, what would that be?
Okay, well, I love Instagram. So I'm on Instagram a lot. And my social media Instagram handle is Zora Dohorta Casting.
Cool.
It's my full name with casting on the end. And that's the place I'm most active on. Obviously, I'm on Facebook. I have a fan page on Facebook. I'm on every Twitter, TikTok. I'm on everywhere. LinkedIn. I same thing. Like I said, I'm branding. You know, branding and being out there so people know who I am and can find me. My final word would be, you know, just know the business of acting and be proactive in your career. Don't just sit back and expect other people to do the work for you. You've got to be proactive. You have to be. So that way you can get the real joy of it. And when I say proactive, I mean, if you're not in doing a play, obviously you can't really do anything right now. Be actively studying, whether it's doing an online class, reading, be constantly reading. And I'm talking about read everything, fiction, nonfiction, biography, history, poetry, classic old written, you know, Chaucer, Shakespeare. So that way, read things out aloud too, so you get used to the vernacular and how your tongue rolls off when you're speaking. So just be more comfortable reading and watching everything. Watch everything now so you can get more comfortable with different kind of genres. So be proactive in that way and take care of yourself emotionally, physically, because you're not just being judged on the way you look, but also everything about you. You are your temple. So be good to your temple. So just be good to yourself and just respect the business of acting and do your work.